Okay, so I think I've talked about this a few times in the past. I wrote an essay about it. It's up on the blog, A Curious Instrument. Actually, I did several things, but I think I'm changing some of my some of my descriptions of the afterlife. Now, I'm not talking about immediately after you die. That's all about everybody getting cleaned up, everybody getting a chance. Oh, they've already done the work on this side, which is great, man. Oop, there's still a big pothole over there, because they just kind of patched it. And they really didn't fill in the holes very good. So you've still got some holes you got to kind of drive around. But it's better. It's better. This isn't talking about immediately after death, where there's... It's called Heaven, Hell, Paradise, Prison. I don't know where limbo fits into that. I really don't know. Sorry. Anyway... It's about what happens after judgment. You're going to get judged based on the kind of person that you are. That may or may not have to do with your willingness to repent of things. You will be cleaned up. Everything you did wrong on earth will be cleaned up, either by you paying the price for what you did wrong, or Jesus Christ having paid it for you as you've repented and as you've changed and gotten better. Anyway, there is ultimately a state which I think has far more to do with what kind of person that you are rather than what you did or did not do. And it's very sobering for me, because I really worry that I'm not exaltation material. I've described them in the past, and I used, and I think these are still useful. The Appalachians, there are three main degrees of glory. Oof. The lowest one is called the Telestial Kingdom, and I compared it with no consequences. That's where people go who their biggest desire in life is not to have real consequences for their actions. At least ones that are dictated by God. And that's what I think that's going to be a feature there. The second level, which is called the Terrestrial Kingdom, is that you'll have no real responsibilities. You know, everything works, everything's good, you know. You won't have to work anymore. It's like a never-ending vacation, a cruise ship cruise type of thing. You know, I really think it is what my maternal grandmother dreamed of, because she even explained it, and I thought, you know, and I thought it was a childish view. Even when I was a teenager, you know, she said we're all going to be angels with wings, and we can fly around. We'd lounge around the clouds and play harps, and that I hope she was pulling my leg, that would satisfy her, or that would constitute happiness for her. But that uh, but that's what she told me. I hope she was joking, but maybe she wasn't. I don't know. Anyway, that's how I look at the terrestrial kingdom. The celestial kingdom, which is where God is, his place, his kingdom, that's defined by no limits. Now, you have to understand that only for some people is that a place with no limits. And I think that kind of leads into what has kind of come to me over the last little bit to say this may be, I don't know if it's a clearer picture or it's yet another way of looking at it that might help bring a little more clarity. It's possible. It's possible. So, you have to understand that there are also three basic levels in the celestial kingdom. And to a large extent, we're not supposed to talk about, well, I don't know, we're not supposed to talk about them. They aren't talked about because there are no scriptural references. Joseph Smith may have said something about them just in passing to say such things existed. He did not give criteria as to what they would be. And I think I've gotten myself kind of clarity about what they might be, and at the same time, kind of an idea of if I stay the course I'm on now, where I'm going to end up. And I don't know how I feel about it, particularly. I really am kind of a lazy guy. And I think I do better than I think I do. I think most people say that. I usually brush it off. It makes me feel slightly better, but not really a whole lot when people say that to me. It means I might go up, I might be one level higher than I think I am, and that's okay. But yeah, it is at the top. My preference in life is usually to qualify for the best that there is. And then I can have a choice of whatever I want to do. And I can look at it and say, you know what? I'm not really sure I want to have that much work. I don't know if that's interesting to me. I got to be careful because the only way my ceiling to Lisa is useful is if I go all the way. Well, anyway, okay, so let's go ahead and start back down in the Telestial Kingdom again. I think, and this also has kind of an ideological component to it, and I think it would shock a lot of people what I think of different ideologies, and where I think those sorts of people would be. Okay. The Telestial Kingdom, I think it will, you know, this Earth is a telestial world. This Earth is a telestial world. I'll give you a few examples of why, A, that's true, and B, some other examples that help you know some of the other ones. So, I think the ultimate telestial kingdom, number one, it's peopled by the same people who are here. Mostly your kind of uninspiring version of the people who are here, which is most of the people here. Come on. you know, it will be a meritocracy of a sort. There will be jockeying for positions. I think it will tend to function more like a pure democracy or a republic. Should probably very similar to such things that you are accustomed to now. I'm sure there will be places on whatever telestial world you go to where it will be run by basically kind of a warlord, sort of a king, you know, one that keeps his standing by being the strongest and the one that most people trust or put their allegiance behind. You know, it's gonna be these things. If you think the feudal days, you know, were a good time, and you thought you would do well under those circumstances, you know, I would have been a prominent knight. You could probably get that kind of a thing if you work for it. You know, it's not just going to be like, you know, blessed on you. You know, you're going to have to earn it. Earn anything you get in that world just as much as you would have to earn it here, status-wise. You know, you're not going to be like God. You're not really going to be around a lot of nice people. All the nice people got to go someplace better. You know? That doesn't mean that you can't be in nice digs in a telestial world. It's going to be nicer than it is here. You know, as far as I'm aware of, food will grow. There will be work that has to be done. If you can get somebody else to do it for you, either by paying them or by them being your slave or making some kind of weird serfdom deal with them. I don't want to call it weird. Anyway, if you can get somebody to do something for you in exchange for something, I would suppose those kinds of conditions would still be happening in a telestial world. It's going to be very, you know, and there's going to be libertarians there. There's going to be all kinds of people like that. If you were a utopian type socialist, you're going to be just as frustrated there as you were here, because you're not going to have a very decently big group of people who want to do this stuff with you, because all the good people that you would want to have, they're not present. They got a better reward than the telestial kingdom. And, you know, so I would imagine that if you wanted something better, but that you had screwed up and you'd gotten yourself placed in the telestial kingdom, and, you know, you preferred sexual romps to anything else, if you were hoping that you were going to have a wonderful, beautiful socialistic society where everybody could have hot and cold free-running sex all the time, and yet everything was beautiful and wonderful and everything was marvelous for you, you might be disappointed, because I don't think, except on a very, 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 very small scale, which usually doesn't work, that you're going to be able to do that. There is going to be some crushing king that is going to enslave you. Or you're going to have to try to do your socialism while appeasing that person. You're going to have to give most of your harvest to that guy Because if you don't, he's going to, I mean, he can't kill you. That's not possible. But there are many ways to bend people to your will to make them do what you want them to do. If you're a nice person, but you just didn't keep the standards to do anything better, I can tell you what the standards are. It's murder. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. And fornication, that's going to probably be the biggest killer. That you're not basically a liar. That you're a false person. And you can say, well, wait, I will have been forgiven of all those things. He says, oh, no, it's not a question of forgiveness. That, yeah, you're right, that's done. No, not, and it's not just forgiveness. It's payment. You have paid all the price for what you did during earth life. That's done. You're going to be punished for your sins. It says, no. Now, you are going to go to a place based on the kind of person you are. If you're a lecherous guy, but you just kept it in your heart, and you didn't really, you know, and you didn't act on it particularly, or if you had done it, it's already paid for. You paid for it, or Christ paid for it, one or the other. It says chances are you would be more comfortable, and you'd probably choose to go to a celestial world, because you're going, that's what I want. And those are the things that really kind of go with it, the very basics of the Ten Commandments. If you couldn't bring yourself to abide by ten rules of living, which are not hard to do. Those 10 things are not hard to do. Anybody who comes back and says they are hard, yeah. Are they really probably setting themselves up for going to the celestial kingdom? Yes. Because that's where people go that really can't do that stuff. Okay. So there's that. If you like how this world is, and I don't mean like beautiful things like mountains and nice gardens and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. If you like being around those kinds of people, if you like knocking in the doors of a saloon, going, kicking your boot up on the bar across, kick there on the bar, and ordering a whiskey and putting it down, and then impressing everybody with your poker skills, and then taking somebody to bed with you that night, if that's your idea of, oh, that is the perfect day, then you're celestial. And you know what? I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you're so low. It's like, no, that's what you want to do. Don't you want to be happy? That is your happiness, I guess. It's not mine, but it's yours. So, yeah, you're not going to be unhappy with that. So, yeah, people say, oh, that's the lowest. And you go, no, that's just one of the possibilities. It is far away from God. God keeps those people at a sincere distance. He doesn't visit there. He might send a representative there. He might employ a sheriff there to kind of keep the peace a little bit. But he doesn't go there. So yeah, this is all rings from how far away you are from God. And, most atheists are like, great, wonderful. I didn't like God in the first place. In fact, I didn't believe in God until I found out that God really was there. It says, but that doesn't mean I like him anymore. I don't like his standards. I never liked his standards, never liked his rules. So this is the perfect place for me. It's far away from God. He doesn't come. He doesn't bother me. If you've got guilt problems, If you're tired of God guilting you for being the kind of person that you are, that you don't want to change, the telestial kingdom is fantastic. He never goes there. He employs some people there to kind of keep the place from just falling into complete chaos. You know, you can go down there and, you know, and you can go and do the whole night thing. You know, I want to be the king. But first you have to prove yourself as a knight. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to joust and I'm going to have wars and they're going to be great. Nobody dies because you can't die. You know, the great part is, I don't know how sex works there, except to say that it doesn't produce babies. There's no consequences. Don't you remember the no consequences thing? No consequences. Isn't that beautiful?
Isn't that exciting?
For those people who say, man, I just want to have a good time. I think you're still going to have that good time. But it's not going to be productive. It's not going to produce anything. Which I think suits all these people to a T. So yeah, it says, don't think for a second that it's going to be bad for you. It's probably going to be what you want. Now, you know, the great part is that you're not going to die. I don't think you're going to need food so much, so you're not going to starve. You know, or either that or food is not an issue. There's plenty of food for everybody, and I don't know by what mechanism it might work that way, but there's no starvation, there's none of that stuff. All that stuff has been cleaned up. So, is it better than this world? Yes. It's great. If it's all about pleasuring yourself, about doing things that you want to do, and things like that, the telestial kingdom is fan-freaking-stinking-tastic. You're gonna love it. Me? I'm not a competitive sort, so I wouldn't do very well there. Okay, so that's the telestial kingdom, I think, the way it's gonna kind of be. And it might be cool, too. You can go to the Ren Fair section of the program, and you can go and you can be a knight and do jousts, and it is real. It's real stuff. You don't have to play act. It's the real thing. Without the inconvenience of getting yourself killed. I don't know if you can get hurt. You might be able to. You know, there might, you know, I don't know that much about it. But, yeah. Woohoo! What a beautiful day. Hey, hey. Da 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 da. Well, anyway, okay. That's the telestial kingdom. Let's talk about the terrestrial kingdom. This is the one that's going to make people go, I don't agree with that at all. And it comes from these people who look at it as grades. They see the telestial people as basically failures. I don't. They're just that kind of people. That's really what they want, is a world that's like that. You know, the strongest survive. You know, the strongest rise to positions of great prominence. There's all kinds of ways to do that. If you want to be a greasy politician, you can be a greasy politician down there, and it's going to work pretty well, I think. You know, if you want to be more of a medieval thing, and you're kings and stuff like that, and other people are just, you know, tradesmen and things like that, just enjoy being a blacksmith, that's good too. You can do that too. Nothing to stop that from happening. You'll be beholden to somebody more powerful than you are, you know, because it's going to be about no consequences. If you are angry about bullies, you're going to be unhappy because I think the Telestial Kingdom is a bully fest. You know? So, okay. If you don't like bullies, I hope you've lived a better life because you probably would like the Middle Kingdom. And I don't know why it's called the Middle Kingdom. It's because it's a little closer to God. Christ goes there on occasion, although he doesn't spend much time there because, honestly, he's entitled to better things. So most of the time, he does better things. Okay, so let's talk about the Terrestrial Kingdom. It's going to upset people. They're not going to like it. Dudes, it's socialism. It's gosh golly gee whiz hoo-ha socialism. And I'll tell you why it's socialism. In the Bible, it talks very little about a fellow named Enoch. He was a descendant of Adam. A good guy. And he had a city. It was called the City of Enoch, or sometimes it was called Zion. If you know about the Apocrypha, you might know quite a bit about Enoch. These are books that used to be part of Scripture sometimes, but they were of dubious authorship. Therefore, they kind of got shuttled off to the side. Most books of Scripture don't include them anymore. Some of the ones that used to be included in the Jewish Bible might still be, for all I know. They talked a lot more about Enoch and about the city that he made. And how wonderful it was. In fact, it was so wonderful. And some of these facts remain in the Bible. They are in Genesis. It was taken up into heaven, right? Ta-da! God took it up to be with him. Now, you have to understand what kind of people they had there. They were people that that held everything in common. It was all about being of one heart and one mind. Joseph Smith and the scriptures we have now describe such a state existing in the future here on Earth. And it is. It sounds like socialism. Now, some people I know, or some people I've read, Cleon Skousen made huge distinctions, which I think are a good illustration. Nobody has to be a part of this condition. Because it is. It's kind of socialistic. Everybody takes care of stuff. They take turns. They're all kind of responsible for everything. I don't think it's too hard. I don't think there's a lot of work. Can I be honest about that? Let me tell you, I will give you an example that isn't really very useful except for Latter-day Saints, but I'm sure you can get the gist of it. A while back, the church said, we're not going to have any more paid custodians. We're not going to do any of that stuff anymore. The basic cleaning of the church on a regular basis, it's pretty much weekly, is going to be handled by the members themselves. Figure out how to do it yourself. We'll tell you what you need to have, and we'll provide all the supplies for you. And I think that's kind of how it's going to be in the Terrestrial Kingdom. And the Terrestrial, that's the middle one, with R's, elves are the third kingdom, the one that's the furthest away from God. This one that's a little closer to God. This one smells like socialism. Now, you know, you aren't pressed into service. You know, it's filled with good people that will do what they're asked to do. I don't think any of it's going to be particularly strenuous or hard. But everybody will have their work to do and they'll do it. And, you know, it's all copacetic. It's all beautiful. It is the utopia, I think, that socialists envisioned that they could never pull off on this world. A lot of people say it can't be done. I think that's actually untrue. It just can't be done on a celestial world. You just cannot get enough people to behave like this to make it work. I think in the terrestrial kingdom, that's what the terrestrial kingdom is. It is that kind of a place. You may very well be given an assignment. Now, it's going to be something that you're good at and you're well suited to. I don't know how it works for jobs that people just don't want to do. I don't know if toilets are just clean all the time. I don't know if the sewers just run all the time and nobody has to maintain them. I don't know. I don't know if they ship up some people from the, you know, I don't know if the pipe work goes down to the Telestial Kingdom and that's something that some overlord cracks the whip over some people in the Telestial Kingdom saying, this is your job, do it. You know, you clean those terrestrial bedpans. I don't know. They are usually described as separate worlds, so I don't really think it works like that exactly. But, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the main entertainment for the terrestrial people, you know, once all the work is done in a day and they all get together in their communal hall and sing praises to the Lord. Great stuff. That they'll look on their view screen or they'll be able to see what's going on the telestial world. And they will get to watch, you know, kind of be the spectators for visiting tourists for the Telestial Renaissance Fair, you know, knowing that they're just visiting. They might come and do all that. The actual Telestial people are working to make the Ren Fair work, and they're playing all the parts that the Ren Fair people need to play, right? And the terrestrial people, you know, they go down there for their vacations. You know, it's like the difference between being able to go to Disneyland and being the people that kind of have to run Disneyland for the joy of their, quote, betters. And you go, well, there it is, you know. Except that on the telestial level, it may be really kind of real. The terrestrial people don't have to worry, you know, it doesn't affect them. They can come and be spectators. They can cheer in the stands while the poor guys that are doing the jousting are down there beating the crap out of each other. And it's real for them. You know, it really is about their status and about being the champion and about getting the reward of it, whether it's money or prestige or acclaim. You know, it's going to be real for the tellies. That's what I call the people that are in the Telestial Kingdom, are the tellies. And the people in the middle section are the terries. You know, L for Telestial, R for terrestrial. So the Terries, they're like, woo, this is fun to watch, yay! Where there are real gladiators down there fighting it out, They might be the ones up in the stands, the Terries, the ones up in the stands in their togas, watching while they wait for whoever's in charge of that gladiatorial games either to give them the thumbs up or the thumbs down. It won't mean anything because nobody dies. It's just like TV. It's just like actors. They don't die, although it's a little more real. This, it's like watching a reality television. Except it really is real, It isn't, it may not be very scripted at all. Anyway, so I think the Terries, I think it's going to feel both ways. The whole thing about it's like retirement. You worked hard on Earth. Now you've earned a wonderful rest. Now you go around, and you say, well, it sounds like it'd be boring just to go on a cruise ship. And you go, yeah, but what if that cruise ship took you to gladiatorial games? What if they, what if you got to watch jousting going on? And it's real. This is real stuff. These guys are fighting for real. They're not just fighting for show for you. This is real for them. Real consequences on a certain level. Anyway, so yeah. And you're going, wow. But, everything that needs to happen, everybody will pitch in together and make sure it gets done. Very much like the utopia that socialists always wanted to have happen, but just couldn't figure out why they couldn't talk enough people into it. Not communism. Well, it is a communistic kind of thing as well, I'm sure. But nobody's there by force. By nature, they chose this. Now, once they choose it, I think that's kind of it. They might be able to say, I would really rather be a jouster and do this for real. Now, I don't think there's any problem with you going to kind of a Renfairish thing run by the Tellies and going and play jousting. I'm sure there could be, I'm sure that could be arranged. Especially if there's some remuneration that makes sense for a telly to engage in this with you. I think there's going to be a certain amount tellies may still operate off of money. That may still be useful. Gold coins, whatever. That may still be a thing for them. The Terries may just have gold at their disposal and they can requisition some to go and take to the old Ren Fair. I would imagine that you will only be allowed some. It probably will not be a never-ending stream of gold that you'll be able to play with. It's going to be like it was in the Soviet Union. There was some nice perks to it. A lot of Russians pine for the days of the Soviet Union. They used to be able to go down to the Black Sea. Beautiful beaches, wonderful Soviet-style resorts where they would go and they would lay out on the beach. It was exciting and fun. You would relax. You would be given a what would you call it? You would be given, not a stipend, a budget, you know, and you could use it for gambling if you wanted to, or you could use it for some kind of entertainment, whatever you wanted to do. Mostly games, mostly entertainment, stuff like that, you know, that's fine. Now, it wasn't, you couldn't go crazy. You couldn't go crazy. Come on, this is the Soviet Union. This was for you to have a break from your normal toil of a person that had to work for the state. And that's what you would do. To really be honest, all these worlds, the terrestrial worlds, the telestial worlds, they all belong to God. They don't belong to you. Now, he may very well set it up so that in the telestial world, you know, it's going to be like here. Does God press his ownership of this world particularly while you're living here? No, you know, you can own it. Now, part of what you're judged for is your stewardship of it. I think once you're out, I can imagine there will still be a stewardship to it, but, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I would imagine that in the telestial world, there will be private ownership, and if you're really a stickler about being a private ownership person, well, that, even though you might qualify for a Terry life, you may not want to take it because it's like, well, it's just too socialistic for me. I don't know if that's the only way it is in the terrestrial kingdom. I don't know if there's other ways of being, but I am reasonably sure that, for the most part, it's somewhat of a communitarian, commune looking, and you have to understand, you can go, oh, yeah, I would hate the Soviet Union, they were so repressive. It's not going to be that way here, because you're going to have, they're all going to be wonderful people. The Tellys cannot come there. The Tellys cannot exist there. They just cannot go there. So you don't have to worry about those people. Those people aren't there. You don't have to worry about the poor. You don't have to worry about the rich oppressing people. You don't have to, you know, all those things that you were, that socialists worked so hard to try to make happen there, you won't have to work hard to make it happen. Everybody there will be compliant. Everybody there will keep the rules. Everybody there will be totally signed on to the program. Isn't it wonderful? It is the utopia that all socialists long have longed for. And it's going to be real. And it's going to be nice. Yeah. But now, see, but that bothers some people who say, well, that's not right for being better than liberty and freedom and meritocracy and capitalism. And you're going, well, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry to say it, but I think that's true. That's actually the furthest from Heavenly Father. Everybody who said that that's a superior way of being, honestly, it is the way that works best in a telestial world. We've become so accustomed to the telestial world that we live in that we think the things that work best here are the best things. And I gotta tell you, they're not. We know of one enclave of terrestrialism And I think they'll come, I think people will come back, Latter-day Saints hopefully too, will come back and say, that's always what I envisioned socialism to look like. And you're going, I'm sorry, is it better than the Tea Last Chill? Yes, it is. And you go, ooh, sorry guys. Now, it's not going to be forced on anybody. And that's the big distinction that people like Cleon Skousen made, was that it was all voluntary. You would voluntarily give up your excess to the system. Now, it was described, now some people equate it to the United Order. It's hard to say. I don't know. I don't know if the United Order was supposed to be patterned after the City of Zion. I think it probably was. It might have been stepping stone toward it. You know, people would keep what they needed and give the excess to the bishop, and the bishop would redistribute that excess. If I had a six-room house for my family of 12, I don't have family of 12, I only have a family of 6, they all grew up and you didn't need it anymore. This is a hypothetical situation to help you understand kind of how it might work, or how it was supposed to work under circumstances. You would say, I don't need that house anymore, and you'd give it back over to the bishop, and the bishop would say, okay, I will give that to another family of 12, or whatever, whoever needs it, or I might put two families in there, I don't know, and I'll give you a little house, you know, to live in, that should suit you guys, and that should be, you know, and that's sufficient, and that's good, you know. If you're a wonderful farmer, you're going to get a lot of land to farm. If you're a crappy farmer, you might be given no land because they go, please do something else besides farming, or just a little bit to suit what you're capable of doing. And it does. It sounds like socialism. And to a certain degree, I'm going to say, okay, fine, it's socialism. However, you're not pressed into it. There's no force involved. There's nobody controlling you. It all has to do with you being willing to give up something. And because only really good people are even allowed into this place, you don't have to worry about some jerk taking more land than he needs. Some woman wanting a huge mansion all to herself. It just ain't going to happen because she's not going to want that. She's not going to be offered it in the first place, you know. I don't know if there will be other sections of the terrestrial kingdom that aren't so socialistic, but as I think about it, I don't think there will be. But I also don't think it's going to be as drab and fraught as the Soviet Union was. I think it will be cute. I think it will smack far more of a modern city in Europe. You know, everything's kind of on. It's all close together, you know. You're very much right next to your neighbor, you know. And, you know, I remember going to Europe, and I had become accustomed with how things are done in America, like hotels, for instance. Most hotels in the United States, even the cheap ones, are spacious. You have a lot of space. Now, you might not think you do if you compare it to, like, the presidential suite of the most amazing rooms on the best hotels in New York City. You know, you might say, that's not spacious. But let me tell you, I went to kind of a typical working class hotel in Amsterdam. I was transiting through there to get to my job in Africa, and we got the hotel room, and it was cramped. It was cramped. I went to go take a shower. I ended up having to take a bath because it didn't have a shower head. And it was a small bathtub. I couldn't stretch out in the thing. American stuff tends to be built shoddily, but it tends to be spread out. It has a lot of space, but it's space that's taken up by pretty low, lesser construction materials. Europe, I found, had better construction materials. It was all very well done. Everything was seemed of a better grade than I was accustomed to from an American hotel that I think would have been of the same basic class, a 2 or a 3-star hotel. But everything was a lot smaller. The room was smaller. The ceilings were lower. Not by a ton, thank goodness. I wasn't hitting the ceiling with my head, but I could certainly touch the ceiling easily with my hand, which you normally couldn't do in the United States because they just make things bigger there. Everything's bigger, although can I say it's cheaper. It's bigger and it's cheaper. And I think you can pretty much say that across the board. And if you wanted to try to shove it, I think, into this kind of a motif, the American-style hotel would probably be more fitting in a telestial situation. Not as good, but making up for it by being spacious. You had a lot of space available to you. You know. The terrestrial, I think, would feel more European. Prettier, cleaner, nicer, but you might feel a little cramped, especially if you're not a big community type. I come from ranchers, and I kind of like the sprawl of the ranching idiom. I like the sprawl of it. I like some space. I don't like to be cheek by jowl with my neighbor. Now, the newest stuff in the United States is starting to feel a little more European. The houses are a lot closer together. Your yard is typically either very small or it's very long. Long and thin. You know, so they can pack in more houses. Kind of a European thing. There's a lot of people in a little bitty space. You know, you can't sprawl too much. And I'm talking about European cities. And probably the whole mentality of the European thing. Much more planning, much more permissions need to be sought, much more bureaucratic. And I know Americans just scream about how much they hate the bureaucracy in America. And you go, you guys just don't know how wonderful you have it. The bureaucracy in Europe, or at least the parts of Europe that I have had experience with and interfaced with and studied mostly, boy, nothing like they have. You know, and it runs that way, you know, very, and that bothers me, because, you know, I'm a guy who says, well, I kind of want to go to the, you know, I'm a Latter-day Saint. I've been told that the best place is to go to the Celestial Kingdom. We'll talk about that in a little bit. how second rate the terrestrial kingdom is, but I'm saying I don't think I would want to be in the terrestrial kingdom either. You know? I don't have the mentality for it. The desire to be in those kinds of circumstances. But I think that's kind of what it's going to be. It's going to be somewhere between communist, Soviet Union, socialist, Europe. It's going to have elements of all these things, but filled with the happy, joyous people that everybody portrayed in all the propaganda films about how it was supposed to look and how it's going to be. You know, lots of rules of conduct, and everybody abides by them. It isn't going to be like this huge fight about what's going to be acceptable behavior. It almost ends up being just, oh, it's a consensus. We all conceded to do this. There's not going to be anybody complaining. You know, they just aren't. All the complainers are going to be down in the telestial kingdom making great Terry TV for all the drama, you know. All the drama people will be in the telestial kingdom, and you'll be able to watch it. Either on I don't know if it'll be on a screen, or if you will be able to visit there. It's the evening, I'm going to pop over to the telestial world over there, and I'm gonna be in the audience for, you know, this wonderful domestic squabble here. And it'll be like TV for the Terrys, but it'll be life for the Tellys. And it's like, well, you know, and I'm sure it'll be nice, because it'll be like, well, you know, this is how I make my living, is entertaining Terrys. After all the work has been divided up, I don't think there's going to be a lot of work, so there's going to be a lot of leisure time, I think, for the Terrys. So, yes. Socialist utopia! Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. And if you don't like socialism, then you don't like Zion. Because, boy, that is Zion, man. Is everybody working together and everybody being like that? And I've been the one that says, I don't know if I really even want that. And it's like, oh. But that's okay, maybe. Maybe it's okay. Because... Now, here's the tricky part, though, because I think during that millennial time here on Earth, the Earth will be elevated to a terrestrial sphere, and that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be kind of a little bit socialistic. And we'll all just have to come to grips with that. If we really don't like that kind of living, I think we're just going to have to say, okay, I'm going to do it. Kind of makes me say, I really hope that I get my walking papers before the second coming of Christ. I would rather see it from the spirit world than be living down here during it, because I'm not sure. It isn't going to make fun TV, I can tell you that. Because, I'm sorry, Terrys are kind of boring, you know? So, yeah. won't be much good entertainment. I don't know. Doesn't matter. All right, let's go on to the Celestial Kingdom. Let's talk about the Celestial Kingdom. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. It's always described in primary. Now this is the teaching you give to kids from the age of 3 up into the age 11. Somewhere in your 11th year, you go on to other teachings. But that's why we call it primary. It's kind of the equivalent of elementary school for religion. Anyway, and the whole thing, and many of the songs and singing time has a lot to do with the teaching there. In fact, I think it's become even more so a big singing thing. We've recently made some changes, and I think singing is more prominent than any other kind of interplay that happens in church with kids. Of course, they don't have a lot of time, honestly. They always talk about going back to live with Heavenly Father. That this is the fantastic thing we have to look forward to. And to be honest, a lot of the adult learning really doesn't go too far beyond that. That's really supposed to be kind of the attraction of the Celestial Kingdom. Now, we do talk about exaltation, which is becoming like God. That's something that people who are sealed in the temple, men and women together, become gods. Can become gods. Just like our people. Our God is... Now, I say a couple, but I also have to say that we don't all necessarily have the same Heavenly Mother. We all have the same Heavenly Father. So you're going, oh my gosh, is that polygamy crap? I thought we got rid of that. And you go, yeah, down here we did. You know, for one reason or another. Says, but I don't think that holds sway up there. We have many scriptures. Heck, we have scriptures in the Bible for those who say, well, polygamy is not biblical. And you go, dude, you know, you really should read Isaiah once in a while. I know it's hard, but you should read it. He's quite poignant. 7 women attach themselves to one man and say, we'll make our own bread, we'll do the clothes, we'll do our own stuff. We just want your name. Wow. What more clearly indicates that there is going to be guys with 7 wives. I don't know if they all have 7 wives. I don't know. But we do know in that case, that was a description being made by Isaiah. If you think Isaiah is a fallen prophet, you might as well just throw your Bible away. Okay? You might as well just do that. Christ thought the world of Isaiah. Half of the other prophets referred to Isaiah. Isaiah is a pretty key figure in the Bible as a prophet. And this is one of the things he prophesied. So yeah, don't get screwy. Don't get weird with me. It's there. Live with it. Yeah, we don't do that now. you know, you wonderful Christians, you never did it. You know, you took scriptures out of the New Testament, and they said, you know, the husband of one wife, and there it is, bing, only one wife. You go, good for you, great. It says, we stopped doing it when you guys said that you would do horrible things to us, take all of our land, disenfranchise our church, if we didn't do it, so we did it. Okay? And then you came back and said, oh, you're just a bunch of hypocrites, and you're going, that's why I don't listen to you people, because you're no good. Good. I'm sorry. When you come at me with Orthodox Christianity, I'm just, no. I'm not going to throw away the truth that I've gotten and that I know, the spiritual experiences I've had, just to please a bunch of other people that have lower standards. I'm just not going to do it. Sorry, guys. Don't mean to be rude. You can have your utopia. You're flying around. I don't know if you're going to get wings. I have no idea. Flying around the clouds, perched on them, smiling, playing your harps. Great. Good for you. I've got other things I want to do. It's called the Celestial Kingdom. It's in our scriptures. It is alluded to on some level in the Bible, although, boy, it's just not there very well. I don't know if it never was there, or if some tired monk just left that part out, or if some really, you know, conniving, I don't know how to describe it, or if somebody thought it better if it just got taken out. Oh, this, no, just take that part out. We're not going there. It's like, okay, whatever. It's not there. I don't care. We have it. You could pray about it. You could go and you could ask God if this is true, and he'd let you know. Now, if you don't believe that God answers prayers that way, if you don't believe that God can do anything better, then I guess you kind of shut yourself off from that. It's your business. The terrestrial kingdom is going to be beautiful socialist utopia. It's going to be great. What you always hoped it would be, like the Garden of Eden. Wee-hoo! Running around naked eating fruit. I don't know. That's what I think it's going to be. Anyway, Celestial Kingdom. Celestial Kingdom's an interesting outfit. There are apparently, it's been described as having three levels of its own. This is where God is. This is where God abides. This is where God goes. This is his home. And the primary children sing about the joys of being able to go back to live with Heavenly Father. Now, I don't know about you, but the prospect of having to go back home and live with my parents after I've had a little bit of freedom, which is exactly what this earth life is a little bit of freedom to see what you would do with it. And of course, where you end up is, to a large extent, judged by how you conducted yourself while you did not have God right over your shoulder, or right down the hall, or wanting you to come in at night for scriptures and prayer, you know? And to be honest, I don't mind making visits to my parents, but I have no interest in living with them. And certainly not in their house under their rules. Now, okay, that's not going to be a feature of it. don't get to the Celestial Kingdom without having proven that we are basically obedient. I don't mean basically like sometimes you weren't obedient. It means no, you were obedient. Whatever you promised to do, you did. Whatever God wanted you to do, you did. Now, the basic requirement for getting into such a kingdom is to be baptized and to live up to that covenant. That is the raw basics. Now, that one includes the commandments. That includes all that stuff. You know, I'm sorry, these are for a better grade of people than the ones in the terrestrial kingdom. Okay? Better grade. Did a better job. Kept the covenants that they made. Okay. Now it's just a question of which covenants you took on you and that you kept. Okay? Basic one, baptism. That doesn't mean that if you're baptized, you're in like Flynn. No, it doesn't. Now you have to be baptized. Bing! You've got to do that. It says, but that is not, you know, the end of the road. You can't play the game, and some people have played it, of getting baptized by all the churches they can find to try to cover all their bases. You know, that is an indication of somebody that even though they got baptized, it's not going to do them much good. It's really not going to count in their favor. In fact, it might count against them. I don't know. Anyway, comes with my whole philosophy that even if you don't think it matters, you probably should behave as if it does. That'll do you a whole lot more good than trying to feel out the nuances of what you do and don't have to do. You know, hey, I don't have to really keep that. You know, there's a word of wisdom. Oh, that's not a commandment. That's just a word of wisdom. It's counsel. You don't have to do that. You're going, well, you know, I guess one could argue that. But when push comes to shove, are you really wanting to take that chance? Is that interesting to you? Do you want God to come back and say, oh, incidentally, I kind of considered that to be a commandment later on? The prophet said so too. And you were really expected to keep that. Honestly, it's like, oh shoot, you know, you don't want to be that guy who is almost being kind of a lawyer about it. Can I make a deal? Oh, that one wasn't worded exactly right, so I didn't bother with that. You go, oh, okay, I wouldn't play that anyway. So I'll tell you about what I think about the Celestial Kingdom and the three levels of the three divisions in the Celestial Kingdom. Those of you who have not ever engaged in Downton Abbey, or upstairs, downstairs, maybe. It might behoove you to get at least passingly familiar with it. Because I think this is how the Celestial Kingdom works. It's all about families in the Celestial Kingdom. Any of the other kingdom, family means nothing. You're on your own. It's all, you know, it's all just you. If you didn't have a happy marriage, you know, don't sweat that, because guess what? You're not going to have to put up with her forever. When your marriage ceremony said, "Till death do you part," that's true. After you're dead, you're not married to her anymore. Your connections to your kids just really don't matter anymore. Unless you've been sealed together in a holy temple of God. If you don't know what I mean, it hasn't happened to you. If you would like to have your family continue beyond death, number one, you need to join the Mormon Church. Number two, which requires baptism. Number two, you need to be faithful to it for a year so that you can go to the temple and get endowments and get sealed to your family. Then you have the opportunity. It's not a guarantee. Nothing with God is a guarantee except for resurrection. You will be resurrected. Nothing else is a guarantee. Just because you go to a temple and you have an ordinance done and you enter into a covenant with God doesn't mean that it's going to happen. God's going to keep his side of the covenant. Everybody knows that. That's going to happen. The whole issue is, will you keep your side of the covenant? That's the big one. And we're all just going to suppose here for a moment that one does. You go, you get baptized by a priest in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a priest or an elder. Keep your promises there. You go to the temple, you make further covenants, you come sealed to your family, you keep that covenant. These are big things. There's some effort involved, there's some work involved. They expect you to be a contributor to this kingdom of God. It's called Zion. That kind of quasi-socialistic, terrestrial sort of existence. We're supposed to be working toward it while we're down here. And I think on a certain level, we're supposed to make it. We're supposed to be able to accomplish that. We're supposed to build Zion here. Enoch's Zion is going to come down and join with the Zion that is built by the people today. And ta-da, there it is. Now, these are under the wonderful circumstances. Work on it. Okay. Those are the people that are going to, I think. I don't know what further things you have to do to gain exaltation, but those are the things we have to do here to be on the road to exaltation. Okay? I don't know if there's further stuff in the afterlife that must be done to qualify for exaltation. But as far as you're concerned with in this earth life, this is part of it. Those who keep all those covenants that get sealed to their families, it's a family thing, like I said, they will be like the family at Downton Abbey. What was their name? The Crawleys. Lord Crawley, Lady Crawley, and their daughters, without all the weird drama. Sorry, like I said, the terrestrial kingdom is boring. Make for some boring television. You know, it's like watching golf. I'm sorry. I just picture a lot of golf going on also in the terrestrial kingdom. I don't know what happens in the celestial kingdom. Except for Downton Abbey, without the drama. The girls are not going off and screwing up their inheritance. tearing up their family, having their mother make plasty excuses for their bad behavior.
Ooh, he said, oh, Neville's got such an attitude. I go, I do.
It's not going to be like that. To a certain extent. Anyway. You'll go on, and you'll become the Lord and the Lady. We're not going to talk about the possibilities of polygamy here. We're not going to talk about screwball kids, because that's a whole other issue. And it's not really relevant to what's happening right here. This is a man and a woman sealed together by God and through covenant, and they become God. And so they are the Lord and Lady of the manor. Now you've heard about angels, right? People that serve God. Some of the depictions have them with these wings. Oh my gosh, they're amazing. The Bible has them as messengers that come down with messages from God to you. Or to whoever. A prophet, Mary. One of them comes to see Jesus, Zacharias. These kinds of people. These people who have seen angels. I don't know. Other people have, I'm sure. Okay. Now, there are, during the life, that's an interesting way, during the, I don't know what to call it, epoch, maybe, during the time of a planet, you guys remember Genesis, right? Very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here we go. You know, this was done by a lot of people, God was the master planner. In the LDS cosmology, Jesus Christ was the one that did the work. He and, well, to be honest, Michael and a lot of people, a lot of spirits. We may have been among those spirits that built this world. For, under God's direction, for our mortal sojourn. And the angels that came and visited in the LDS cosmology were tied to this world. They were spirits that helped construct the world, just like we did. We were one of those. And they were destined to come to Earth at some point. For the Latter-day Saints, the angel Gabriel, you've heard of him, that's Noah. He came to Earth and he became Noah. So it's interesting. You can have angels before they are born on Earth. They can still come as angels. Not apparently without bodies, and they can come after their deaths with their bodies as resurrected beings to come and take care of the work that needs to be done. It's all done, you know, it's all like some big family thing. Your brothers and your sisters function as angels as well. When they're not on Earth, they have other work to do. Sometimes it's to come down here and bring messages from God. Ba-doo! What's another one? Michael. You all heard Michael the Archangel. That's Adam. He came to Earth as the first man. Wow, cool, huh? Anyway, and you can say, oh, that's not true. That can't be true. And you go, you know what? You don't know what's true and what's not. Come on. Give it a rest. If you're not going to accept stuff that's been revealed to the, through the Spirit to prophets and apostles, then you have no leg to stand on to say, oh, that's just silly. It's like, oh, shut up. It's like some guy from a foreign country saying that eating French fries is silly. It's going, dude, it has nothing to do with anything you're even into. You know, if your flavor of Christianity just doesn't allow for this, then why don't you just shut your trap? Who cares that you don't believe it? It has nothing to do with you then. If you don't believe it, just bow out and say, man, it's just, no, I'm just not going there. And you go, fine. You know, either I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong, or neither one of us are right. But we're not going to get that settled here, and it's certainly not going to be handled by, you know, an argument at this level. It's just not going to happen. So it's like, yeah, just let it go. I'm explaining to you how it works for me. If you have a problem with it, then you can get on a podcast and explain it. Explain what you believe to me. You can say all day that you're right and I'm wrong. I'm just telling you what I have come to know. And you can say I'm full of crap, and you go, hey man, I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just telling you what I know. Ta-da! Well, what you believe. You go, fine, you can render it however you want to. It doesn't make you smarter or me dumber, okay? Ta-da! All right. Celestial Kingdom. Of course, this is totally outside of Christendom. You guys can close your ears and go, la, 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 I'm not listening to you, and I don't have to listen to you. People who are willing to at least entertain it, carry on. All right. And, okay, so, Lord and Lady of the Manor. Lord and Lady Grantham from Downton Abbey. You know, this is them. We can leave the girls aside for a minute because we're not going to talk about moving on and stuff like that and having spirit children and business like that business. But, you know, it's there. Anyway, okay, so they would be on the upper level of the three is the Lord and Lady, the family. Lord and Lady up there. Now, just because, okay, now, every big grand family, gods included, there's going to be servants. Now, I'm sure that with the spirit children of any particular god, our Heavenly Father included the God of us, our Heavenly Parents, for those of you who are real sticky about, don't forget Heavenly Mother. It's like, come on, it says, be careful. It says, because you don't know which Heavenly Mother you're talking about. So, you know, let's just not get too bizarre. As far as you're concerned with, they are one entity, one person. And I know that's like, oh, no, you can't, no, no, don't do that, no, no, no. I don't want to hear the feminist claptrap, okay? It doesn't work. It doesn't work on any level. So just let it go. Just let it go. I'm not even going to listen to it. I'm not going to entertain it. So anyway, God. If you want to get, you know, if you want me to sugarcoat it so it feels better, a man and a woman sealed together and kept that covenant. God. That's them. Together. They can't do it singly. It's not the man lording over the woman. It's not anything like that. It's the two of them together. I don't know how the division of labor goes. I don't know if she just takes care of the house staff and he goes out and he has to crack the whip over everything else that's going on. I have no idea. Doesn't matter for this particular stage of development for us. Okay, that's them. Top level of the celestial kingdom, the top kingdom. Okay, the middle level. Think about those people who worked at the house, the people in service. I'm trying to think of some names. Bates, the valet. What was the butler's name? Oh my gosh, I forgot. That's terrible. Carson, thank you. Whew, it came. Don't worry. It finally showed up one day. I should have gone for the gas. I'm here. I should go get... Okay, I'm going to circle back around and get gas. Ugh. I should have pulled over. Stupid me. It's even a good price. All right. Mrs. Hughes. All those people. And you know that they had grades too. You know? Everybody, when the butler stepped into the room, all the other servants got up, right? Gave him honor as kind of the guy that runs the house. Ta-da! Let me think again for a minute. I don't know if it's just the butler and the head housekeeper, Mrs. Hughes, and Carson, Mr. Carson. It's not Mr. Carson, it's Carson. I don't know if those people constitute the second level, or if it's the entire household staff that constitutes the second group. Certainly, I'm sorry, a higher grade of people. You know, better dressed, better groomed, I think to a large extent better paid, have more privileges, get to be involved in some level in the doings of the family. So there's that second level of the celestial kingdom. Oops, there we go. Oh God, I need some air, man. Okay. Now, okay. It didn't get mentioned a ton in Downton Abbey. It was mostly about Downton Abbey. There was a village that was associated with the Abbey. It was called Downton Village, I guess. Or sometimes they just called it the village. And one got the impression that it was part of the Lord's domain. You know, he was the Lord of the village too. And you know, the people who were in the village, not a part of the household, right? The doctor. I don't have any other terms for any of them. There was many people that lived in the village but were kind of associated with the household. That makes it kind of unclear. So it isn't a very perfect analogy. But there are, you know, the people who keep up the roads, that keep everything wonderful, that make everything work, that provide the larger community that a place needs. When people want to go to the movies, you go into the village to do it, right? You don't typically have movies going on the manor house. Sorry, that's probably a better term for it. The manor house. And you can see that if there's going to be all kinds of people who qualify to go to the celestial kingdom, all sorts of grades, all sorts of skills. There will be manager sorts. I'm just gonna, yeah, the gas prices are high enough here that I'm just gonna go back to Love's. The ability, okay, the Celestial Kingdom is not qualified for by a certain social ranking. Getting into the kingdom itself, being in the presence of God, is not a rank thing. You can be a ditch digger. You can be, you know, the CEO of a major company. You can be anything in between and still qualify just as readily to go to the Celestial Kingdom. Now, once you're there, we only really know from Revelation about the kind of the separation of, oh my gosh, what's going on down there? They got the road blocked off. Ugh. About the separation for those who qualify for exaltation to become like God, and those who do not merit that for one reason or another. I have no idea what makes it so that you're still in the Celestial Kingdom, but you're not exalted. But I figure that though there are those people. And that those who don't qualify for exaltation, they are not the Lord and Lady of the Manor, but they are tied to that manor, you know, in service, to make it sound better than it, then, okay, oops, go for it. That they're going to qualify for that. I think the people in the village are in the lowest thing. There's still the Celestial Kingdom. It's still wonderful. God is still present. God is here. Now, you know, you're not getting all of God's wonderful tutelage toward being a god because you didn't qualify for that. But are you there at the tutoring school? Sure. You know, somebody's got to be there taking care of the things that need doing. You know, every organization's got to have work folk, and that would be kind of those people. I'm gonna pause. Okay, we're back on and kicking. Okay, so here just because I don't know. So the way I look at it is, I think it's hard to say where the great separations are, except for one, Lord and Lady of the Manor House. There. They're the ones that are going to be, that are exalted. And everybody serves them. I think there's training periods there. For a while, we will be living with our heavenly parents during a training period. I'm talking like I'm going to be one of them. I hope so. Anyway, for my wife's sake, she really wants exaltation. I don't know if we merit it, but she wants it. So we're going to proceed and try to work on qualifying for it without knowing precisely what the requirements are. Doesn't matter. Those in service, I guess, might be on one on the second level, and those in the village are on the third level. All very nice, all very wonderful. A different sort of existence, you know, is it, you can watch Downton Abbey, and beyond the weird drama going on, you know, everybody getting thrown in jail at one point or another, you know, death and war and all that stuff. The way things are stratified, I think that's the way it's going to be in the celestial kingdom. Very different from the terrestrial kingdom. I will not be surprised if people who have been baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and done a good job, probably even may have qualified for the celestial kingdom, but will be so much what's a good way to say it? Married? So much indoctrinated into the absolute supremacy of socialism that, and the fact that they think classes are evil, that they will request not to go to the celestial kingdom. I will not be surprised. I think a few times the Downton Abbey series thing, you know, socialism did come up. You know, what's his name? The guy that Sybil ended up marrying and then she died. He became a more major character instead of kind of an outlier. I forget his name. Oh my gosh, it's terrible. Anyway, you know, at first he couldn't hardly stand the outfit, because he was a socialist, you know, it was all about fairness and stuff like that, and you know, the whole stratified system at the manor just offended his every sensibility. And I think he got past that because he saw love and acceptance and, frankly, a good place for himself. He, you know, he was caught in a weird situation. It was like he was a member of the family upstairs, third level. But yet he wasn't, and he felt that acutely. I remember this one time he had this lady that was even probably more of a socialist than he was, kind of a social justice warrior. She was that school teacher chick that her and Lord Grantham just could not, for a minute, stand each other. She was so disrespectful. And, of course, he couldn't abide that. And you have to understand, boy, that is, you have got God, Elohim, nailed there. If you're not grateful about him, he doesn't give a lick about you. I don't care if you are his child. He doesn't care. Get out. You're going, boy, I wouldn't want to worship a God like that. And you go, fine, don't. He says, but trust me, that means you're not going to be in the celestial kingdom. You're not going to want to be in the celestial kingdom, number one. And God isn't going to want you there. Ta-da! How about that for simplicity? Just not going to be part of your program. And so, yeah, for people who really become... enamored with that kind of thing, I think they're going to likely give up the Celestial Kingdom altogether and say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, one hopes that they'll say, you know what, I'm going to go live in the village because I really am grateful for God and all that he's done for me. And you go, well then, come, be with us. If you didn't qualify for exaltation, that's fine. You know, trust me, only good, really, you know, godly people become gods. That's just it. The system doesn't allow for anybody else to do it. So you're going to be, on some level, serving. You may not serve in the actual household the second tier. You may serve the third tier, the village. Outside of the manor house, outside of the castle, but still within the walls, you know. You may very well, you know, you're going to have to honor the Lord. There's none of that stuff. There's no being all uppity about it and saying, well, you know, I guess it's okay. And you go, no. He says, that's something you can say somewhere else. You're not going to say it here. And it's like, well, God's going to be that way. And you go, yes, God is that way. It says it all over the scriptures. If you have a problem with it, all you wonderful Christians who think you can, who love socialism. Socialism is a state that's gonna be true for 1,000 years, I think. Something very socialistic. But it's gonna be building toward this greater thing, which I don't think is particularly socialistic. Although I think everyone will work together. You know? I don't think the people in the village are going to be at odds with each other. I don't think they're going to be resentful of people that work in the castle, in the mansion, the manor house. I don't think they're going to be resentful. I think it's gonna be like Downton Abbey without the drama. It would be a very boring show, except that the Lord and the Lady bring children into the household, raise them up, send them to a world, prove them if they stay worthy, they get to go into the training program where they learn how to run their own manor house, create their own worlds. And I know everybody says, oh, that's silly. That doesn't sound so goofy. Oh my gosh, those Mormons are going to go off and they're going to make a little world and they're going to have their own little spirit babies. And Mr. and Mrs. God are going to be surrounded by billions and billions of screaming spirit babies. And you go, you know what? You guys are so infantile / adolescent about this. And that's fine. If that's the way you feel about it, obviously, you're really not going to have anything to do with it. God will continue to be a rather distant figure to you. I mean, you'll see him at judgment. You'll be in his presence. I will imagine to a certain degree you'll say, can we just get this over with? I really want to get out of here. Out of here, you know. It's like, okay, let's get this done. All right, here's where you're going. The majority of you will go to the Telestial Kingdom, which is exactly like this. You can carry on your religion the way you want to. I don't think there's anything to stop you from engaging God in the way that you do. If you've been really good and quite diligent in acknowledging God and trying to do what God wants you to do, you may qualify for the terrestrial kingdom. Especially if you've been good about keeping the basic commandments that the Lord's laid out, you'll make it to the terrestrial kingdom, which is very nice and what most Christians would consider to be the ultimate fantastic reward. What's the problem? What are you upset about? Why are you screaming and yelling and casting such sour grapes all over Latter-day Saints? You don't believe it? Fine. It won't happen for you. God will continue to be this being that you really don't see. Christ continues to be somebody that you may see from a distance. If you're in the terrestrial, if you're in the telestial, you don't even do that. You don't even see that. You don't see Christ ever again after judgment. It's done. You know, he might not even say, hey, you know what? Don't even shake my hand, okay? I did some suffering for you. I made an opportunity. You kind of pissed it off. It's fine. You know, have a nice day. We made a nice world for you. Everything's better than it was on Earth. Have fun. You know, and, you know, enjoy the next phase of your existence. Enjoy. This will be your existence from here on out. Enjoy. You know, and that's okay. You know, because I'm sure that's how much you cared or engaged with Christ. If you weren't obedient, he doesn't think much of you. I think that's in the scriptures, and I know that offends you because you said, no, everybody said Christ is love. And you go, did you read the other scriptures? You know? John loved Christ. But, to be honest, they were really good friends. And I think John was really obedient. So, no wonder he had a wonderful attitude about Christ. I think there's going to be a good reward for him. Yeah. Because, you know, and if it's all about singing praise songs to Jesus and keeping his basic commandments, but really wanting no more beyond that kind of a relationship, you just want to be happy. And, you know, Christ said, hey, if you do this, this, and this, you'll be happy. And you go, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Which I think is pretty much the mantra of Christianity. I'm trying to avoid sin and pain, and the pain that comes with it. And that's really what I'm all about, is pain avoidance. You know, you go, cool. That's great. Enjoy. You know? Don't get weird about people who think they can do better. You know, it is. It's a massive case of sour grapes. Well, if I can't reach it, then it wasn't worth anything. And then you guys go a step further by saying, well, it couldn't possibly exist. No way. I think you're going to burn in hell for even thinking such a thing. And you're going, so trying to be a good person, trying to keep the commandments, trying to be a more holy person is ultimately ends up being a sin. I think that's hilarious. I think that's absolutely just, what kind of a boneheaded philosophy is that? I don't know what string of scriptures you had to run together to say something like that. I know you do. I know you've got it. I know you've got your argument. And you can have it. You can have it. You're going to get exactly the thing you want. You're going to get basically a picture of Christ that you can sing praise songs to. Ta-da! Isn't that what you guys were always kind of after anyway? And all the nice stuff, you know, kind of the Garden of Eden sort of things. I think the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to be... are going to say, wow, this is exactly what we thought was going to happen. And I think they're right. That is what's going to happen to them. Could they have more? Is there more available? Yes. Now, the fact that they won't conceive of it, or they would refuse to ever see anything more than what they think they... than a Garden of Eden existence. That's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think that's the best that can happen, then guess what it is? That's the best that can happen for you. Ta-da! See, and I'm not even talking religion here. I'm just talking about what everybody can see and say, you know what? That is so true about how life works. If you can't think of anything better than where you are, you know what you're going to have? What you have. And you're not going to be able to get anything better. Because you just simply can't conceive of it. Tough. Anyway, so yeah. If Downton Abbey disgusts you, then guess what? Don't worry about it. Don't fret that. Now, hopefully at some point you'll say, wait a minute, you know, socialism's great and it can take us to wonderful heights. If you have the right people doing it. Oh my gosh. And you, I think it's a foregone conclusion that in this particular sphere, with this particular group of people, with these children of God, socialism only works on a very small scale. You know, it has to be a very cloistered community. You know, you people can't come here. We only let certain people in here. You have to meet our criteria. In the United States, I believe that's illegal. So it just isn't going to happen. You know. They're trying to do it another way they've cooked up, which everybody is kind of pressed into socialism. You know, it's kind of like Obamacare. Obamacare strives to be the kind of socialism, I believe it's called Fabian socialism, where everybody's kind of forced to be in it. It's kind of a rule that you have to participate, and no particular exceptions are allowed, which is funny because I actually qualify for an exemption, and I'm actually living on an exemption right now. From Obamacare. I don't participate. Christian health share, which barely tolerates my presence in it. You, of course, know that most Christians don't consider Latter-day Saints Christians. And you go, you know what? That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me on any level. You tell me that, and I'm supposed to go, oh, my gosh, I better straighten up. And it's like, no, I don't feel any need to straighten up. I said, I am. Oh, it's starting to rain. I know it just floors them that I don't care. And they go, well, you're the devil then. And you go, well, I said, that's convenient. Call anybody that doesn't agree with you and the devil. Says, I don't do that. Because I don't believe you are. I believe you're a child of God. But I also think that you're not really, you know, I'm busy adjusting windows. That's no good. Hope I can find my turn. It's really coming down like cats and dogs. Oh, I'm glad my boat has a drain in the bottom of it that just lets water out. There's always a couple of pools left in it because of how I have it rigged at the moment. I really need to, I don't know if I need to level it or make it kind of turn the other way. But I probably do need to do that. Hopefully I'll wait until this rain kind of peters out. Anyway, so yeah, you go, I don't have anything against you Christians. Now, I've got a responsibility from the Lord to tell you, to try to introduce you to the possibilities. Now, you can certainly say, I have no interest in that. I don't want anything to do with that. And you go, that's fine. He says, but I need to try. It's my responsibility I have to God to try. Oops. Okay, here, let's scroll down these. Oh. Whew. Coming out of the east. All the storms here tend to come out of the east. Because that's where the mountains are, and that's where the winds kind of tend to blow down from up high down low. The mountains are to the east here, so we tend to get it. This is wonderful. Everything was in need of some rain. I'm getting rained on, man. It didn't rain until I came out here. Holy free holies. Okay, so yeah, and so yeah. You say, oh, you always think you're better than we are. And you go, yeah, we're striving towards something higher. It says, but nothing to stop you from doing the same thing. It's not like some exclusive club. But yeah, do you have to join to get higher? Yes. Oh, well, then. It's like, oh, come on, grow up. If you want to be a high-level officer of the CIA, you have to start by actually going into the CIA. Guy, I can't believe you guys and your weird stuff. Are they going to tell you all the secrets from the very beginning? No. Guy, what are you, an idiot? Jeez. Says I apologize for calling you an idiot, but it sure seems that way from my vantage point. You go, I'll try to say it in a nicer way. How about this? You know, jeez. Okay, I think it's from the south. I think it's from the southeast. Let me open up my northwest windows. I'm gonna get some air in here because I'm hot. You can look at it that way. You can say, oh yeah, you expect to know everything that the senior station chief in Kabul knows, and you expect to know it without having at least entered Langley as a lowly CIA agent. You expect us to do that. It's just mind-boggling that people would come up and say that. I think if you went to your congressperson with those kinds of demands, they would take you aside, they would slap you in the head, and tell you that you don't have any business with any of this stuff unless you're really serious about getting into this stuff, and not casually so you can pick at it. Okay? And nobody is more hated and usually just gets offed than somebody who was in the CIA, was privy to secrets, and then starts blabbing them. Whoa! So this is great. It says, I think the LDS Church is the CIA. And you'll start to get an idea about why it behaves the way it behaves. It's because God doesn't want to be blabbing everything to everybody. He doesn't even know. He says, are you on his... Wow, that is amazing. That was a heck of a lightning strike. Illuminative. You think that set my little thing on fire? Holy free holies. That kind of worries me. Okay. I was talking about my mast on my boat. I'm just coming into that territory. So yeah. And I'm sorry, I'm just coming up with this. I know people would say, ooh, you think you're all high and mighty, and you go, just like every other CIA person does. And the fact that you don't know what you don't know, and yet you think you're the bee's knees, and you're not. You go, well, why do you think you are? It says, because God's taken me into his confidence on a few things. Now I've had to make serious covenants with them. Some of them are about keeping things secret. We don't, you know, this isn't shared with people who aren't read in. Where are you? You know. And when we're going for recruits, we don't recruit you by telling you a crapper load of secrets now, do we? You think that's how people get recruited to the CIA? Ooh, I'm going to tell you a secret. You think so? You think that's how it works? No. We do a lot of checking. We give you some preliminary things to do, and if you do them, then you're in. But you start at the bottom. You don't know much. There's a lot of stuff to study. There's a lot of stuff to learn. Most of it's available to everybody. You know, those things aren't particularly secret. You know, you can say, well, I don't believe that. There's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's that, and there's that. And so, do you want to be a CIA senior station operator someday? Yes. Okay, then. If you're going to get weird about this stuff, it ain't going to happen. You don't get it for the asking, and because you think you're noble. That's not how it works. Little by little, step by step. You want us to behave stupidly, don't you? Number one, I don't write the rules. God does. If God wanted to just be open to everybody, I think it would be open to everybody. And certain parts of it certainly are. Visitors, welcome. Isn't it great? So yeah, if you're sitting there going, oh, this just sounds so silly. And you're going, well, number one, all the stuff about it being, you know, Celestial Kingdom being Downton Abbey, terrestrial kingdom being a really high level hippie commune. I don't mean it's probably like that. I don't think, maybe, you know, I like hippies, so I don't know. I'm here. Whew. Everything's wet. I need to crank up the boat. I think it's about time that I stop giving it such a heavy attack that way and do the attack the other way. Make the bow higher than the stern. Anyway, so, okay. Oh, man, I'm going to roll down the windows for a minute because I want some air. I'm so grateful for the breezes that blow here. It's very rarely still, and that's wonderful. Oh, turn off the lights so I don't get bugs. It almost feels like, it smells like, and it almost feels like how it feels up in the mountains. Almost smells like it. It's more sagey here, but still nice. So yeah, I do. I really do think it's kind of like the CIA. And you're going, you know, and you can sit there and say, well, I want to think part of it. And you go, well, then you don't get the fun stuff. You don't get the big stuff. You know, you can say, oh, I just want to live a happy life. And I don't want to have to think about that stuff. And you go, trust me, you will. You're okay. You do not have to operate on this level. You do not have to. Nobody's forcing you to. We just want to tell you that the opportunity is there if you want it. If you're not interested in it, fine. Fine. You know, I'm not going to pay any attention if you get weird later and say, well, wait a minute, what's over there? And somebody says, hey, that's where all the really cool stuff happens. And you go, well, why can't I go over there? And you go, dude, when you were presented with the very basics of being over there, you scoffed, you rejected, heck, I think you threw them out, and, sorry, you know, he may very well give you one last chance, because God is just that wonderful. But I don't know if he has to, honestly. You know, if you've had opportunities down here, you know, and you can say, well, everybody thought the Mormons were a joke. And you go, did you consider why they thought Mormons were a joke? Oh, they thought all this crazy stuff and there was weird things going on in their temples. And you go, and yeah, now you're upset because you're not allowed to go into a place that you needed to qualify for, and you were really upset about the fact that you weren't just let in back then. Back when it was a simple matter of investigation and covenant making and covenant keeping. But no, you wouldn't have it. And you're going, and guess what? It has never been simply a point of idle speculation or idle curiosity. I wonder what goes on in that temple. I wonder what those Mormons really believe. Not that I'm interested in being involved with it at all, but I want to know what they're about, and I want to know everything. And you're going, would you say that to the CIA and accept anything but stone cold silence? I didn't know you guys were like the CIA. And you go, God treats it that way. I don't. It says, but I'm sorry, I work for God. You know, it's the CIA, for Pete's sakes. So don't screw with it. I think there might be some kind of reason that they dress in suits and look like G-men. It says it's because in a certain way we are G-men. We're God-men. And it's that, and can I be honest? It's that serious. It's that serious. It is not to be engaged in casually or frivolously, you know. Now, we can have fun, and we try to make it so it is like having fun. But to be honest, it really is about, this is serious business, guys. There is a, you know, God's priesthood feels like the military. Not really so much rank-wise, but, you know, things like that. Anyway, okay. I think it's time to start shutting things down. I've certainly done this recording far longer than is needful. And it is 9:11, and I've only got 41% battery left. And I need to sleep, and this thing needs to wake me up in the morning. So, everybody have a good day. These are just the concepts that are in my head. This is not doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It is all Jason Nimrow, every bit of it. So, but this is certainly coming from a guy who has looked at this stuff and has not run away as a dissenter, who is not out to destroy it. And I'm sorry, everybody who says, I'm not out to destroy this, I'm just out to tell the truth. And you're going, dude, that's all you're about is destroying it. So, you know, I'm not even gonna pretty much even give you the time of day. It's just not really interesting. And when you say, I've got authentic questions, I go, these are not questions. These are accusations and trying to take pot shots. And you are doing the church and the Lord a great service by separating the wheat from the tares. And didn't say that we were necessarily going to be the ones doing it. It was going to be just life. And if you're part of doing that, then I guess you get to be a terror maker. And I guess you should be proud of being able to do that. And we're sure are grateful for your service to doing something that sometimes I think the church in its niceness struggles to do, which is to clear off the roles, the people who don't really want to be on the roles, you know? So thank you for your fine service in accomplishing that. You who are vociferous dissenters. You don't want to lose people because you care about them and you want them to have the best things. But a lot of people just have no interest in the best things. And sour grapes. Sour grapes fast, fast, fast. And I really know that that's really what it all is for you guys. It's just a crapper load of sour grapes, you know. It's a wonderful thing. Have a great day.